Over the last 3 weeks, we were looking at just one prayer or one song of praise of David in 2 Samuel 22, which is the same really as Psalm 18. And it's a very significant prayer it's a song of praise and a prayer. Communion with God. And we learned three vital truths. One, firstly, acknowledging the truth about God. Praising him for who he truly is. And, of course, that is not only our understanding mentally of who he is, but as we discover him to be for ourselves. David recorded, "The Lord is my rock." Not he is a rock or he's my rock. I have found him to be the solid ground on which I stand. He's my refuge. I have truly gone to him for refuge and I found him to be a refuge. He's real. My salvation, my shield. David began his communion with God by declaring who God was to him. And then we looked at how important it was to acknowledge the state of our hearts before God. You know, David tells us in that amazing account that God had actually acted because of David's righteousness. "I was blameless before him. I kept myself from guilt." Notice from guilt, not from sin. David did sin, we know that. But guilt means undealt with sin, doesn't it? It means things yet to be addressed. So the first thing was acknowledging who God is. The second was acknowledging the state of our heart before him. And then thirdly, that there's a war. You know, when we just sang that hymn before, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one." In the conflict, whether great or small, there is a war. And David acknowledges this war. It's going on. And it will continue to go on in this world. We are in a war, in a battle. And David acknowledged it was God who was his refuge, his rock, his shield. All these things are needed when there's a war on. And that was the close, in some way, of David declaring how he related to God. And therefore, I believe it was like a teaching us to pray, how we are to pray, how we are to commune with God. And tonight, if you look in your scriptures, we get to chapter 23, which tells us the last words of David. Now, I'm not sure what Jeff Drummond shared at breakfast with Mary and Anna. I didn't ask them that. But I know that for Peter, his son, there were some last words that he said to him. "I love you." Wow, that's pretty important to say, isn't it? If you haven't said that to people that are dear to you, then you don't know when you're going to go, you know. And the last words people share are very significant, aren't they? And as we come to this, the last words of David, what is he going to say? You know, it's like an anticipation. What would this man who's described as a man after God's own heart, what would he tell us are his last words? Well, we read them, seven verses. Because after these seven verses, it goes on to talk about the mighty men of God and actually goes on to talk about something else that David does which weren't too good. He took a census when he shouldn't have done it and he shouldn't have counted up the number of people he had and God was not pleased with him. So that's sort of the fading out of David. But these are the last words he tells us, godly words. And he starts by saying, "Now these are the last words of David, the oracle of David, the son of Jesse." the son of Jesse. We know exactly who he is. He's the son, the youngest son of this man, Jesse. And you remember the story of Samuel going to Jesse's house to anoint a new king, and he finds Eliab and he thinks, wow, look at this fine man, and he's just about to go forward and anoint. God says, no. Why? Because man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Those are such significant words, aren't they, in the Bible for all of us. God looks at the heart. And Jesse had all these sons, and Samuel went right down the line, and there was no witness of the Spirit that God was approving of the hearts of these ones. And so he asked Jesse, Jesse, have you got another son? Oh, yes, I've got the youngest one. He's out in the field with the sheep. Bring him. And when he came in, Samuel, the Spirit of God witnessed, this is the one, the son of Jesse, anointed to be king, chosen by God. My daughter Lydia had found some short videos about David, animated ones. David the king, David the shepherd, David the warrior, David the poet. Just 5 minutes. I just watched them before I came to church tonight. And wow, they were inspiring. God chose this young boy, really, because of his heart for God. David learned to pray. How did he learn to pray? What was the message Samuel was bringing to Israel? If Samuel was to share his testimony, and I'm sure he did, what would he tell Israel? God answers prayer. Yeah, like Don Stanley has plastered over the back of his Zoom. God answers prayer. That message was going out to little children and everyone. And David, a shepherd boy, took hold of this message. And we know that he overcame bears and lions and all sorts of things, but he knew where his strength came from. He knew it came from God and not from himself. He tells us the oracle of David, the son of Jesse, the oracle of the man who was raised on high, who didn't work his way to the top. He was raised up by God on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob. God anointed me, says David. He knew it. He knew that God had touched him. The sweet psalmist of Israel. Isn't that lovely words? The sweet psalmist of Israel. I'm looking at the NIV, aren't I? Inspired utterances of David, the utterances of the man exalted most high, the man anointed the God, the hero of Israel's songs. I prefer the ESV. The sweet psalmist of Israel. When you read David's psalms, how much have they ministered to you? What were you reading the other day? The psalms, weren't you? You. Psalms. 131. The psalms are so ministered to us, don't they? Because they come from the hearts of people who are communing with God. And David has written more of them than anyone else. And it tells us who he is. And he's declaring here who he is. These are his final words. And then he says this, the Spirit of the Lord speaks by me, or spoke through me. His word was on my tongue. And what was the word? The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel has said to me. What's he going to say? Here it is, the last words. When one rules over people in righteousness, when he rules in the fear of God, he dawns on them like the morning light. Ruling in the fear of God. What is that? What is it to lead in the fear of God? What is it to act in the fear of God? Well, I was sitting there tonight thinking, I recall so well a time when I was driving in Cairns with my family to this not ferry sort of launch, which was to take us out of the Barrier Reef, and the weather forecast was not too good during this day, quite choppy seas and all the rest of it, and it wasn't a very positive morning as far as the natural elements were concerned. And we woke up in, not sure whether we should go, but we decided yes, we would go. We rang them up. Oh yes, come out with us. It'll be fine. Yeah, no problem. We went through torture for 8 hours. Let me tell you, I have never been on a boat or ship in more torture than that particular one. I had 5 members of my family spewing up over the side. I had the rest of the whole crew were sort of looking after other people who were spewing up over the side because it was so choppy. For 4 hours it took us to get from Cairns out to the reef, which was 100 kilometres offshore in choppy seas. Let me tell you, this was something. And I just want a helicopter to get us out of there. But as we're driving, before we got on the sea, we're driving along. And I said, we should sing. And we started singing as a family. We're singing in the car. A bit carried away with singing and the speed, though I wasn't watching. And after a few moments, there's a red and blue light flashing behind me. What happens when you see a red and blue light flashing when you're driving your car? Yeah, I know. But what do you do? What do you do, Haddon? You let it part, yes.
I was trying to go through, yes, Ben, up near Murray Bridge, and there was a car coming out of the behind me with a flashing light. And so I sped up to try and let it out because I thought, I've got to drive through here.
And they're chasing you.
And they told me how dangerously I was driving and how fast I was driving.
Well, mostly our response is a fear, but a right fear. We're not frightened of them. We're just conscious, are we doing the right thing? Are we acting in such a way that we should have no fear? That is like the fear of God. He is righteous. He is a judge. He will deal with us absolutely justly. And the fear of God, these are the last words of the psalmist of Israel telling us God told him this: when one rules justly over men, ruling in the fear of God, he dawns on them like the morning light. And so often, we rule in the fear of man. So often, we make decisions in the fear of man, not the fear of God. So often, we act in our homes, in our workplaces, and in life in the fear of man, and not conscious of what God really thinks and says. I can tell you a little story about this. I remember early on in ministry here, God told me to read through the prophet Ezekiel. And I read through Ezekiel from beginning to end prayerfully. And I got to chapter 3. This is not very far into the book, is it? He said to me, "Son of man, eat whatever you find here. Eat this scroll." It's like eating the word of God, you know. Chew on it and get it inside you. And go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he gave me this scroll to eat. And he said to me, "Son of man, feed your belly with the scroll that I give you and fill your stomach with it." Then I ate it and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And that's what it's like, isn't it? You discover the word of God. It's sweet as honey. The next part is not so sweet as honey. And he said to me, "Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of foreign speech and a hard language, but to the house of Israel, not to many peoples of foreign speech and a hard language whose words you cannot understand. Surely if I sent you to such, they would not listen to you. But the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, for they are not willing to listen to me, because all the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery harder than flint have I made your forehead. Fear them not, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. Moreover, be he said to me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak to you, receive in your heart and hear with your ears, and go to the exiles and speak to them, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God. And then he says in verse 16, And at the end of 7 days the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, I've made you a watchman of the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die for his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. So I read this, and I'm in ministry here, and chaplain at the Monash Medical Centre across the road. I go into a room one day, and there's a man listed down as a Presbyterian. His wife's in the room with him, and I go by his bed, and I say, I'm Presbyterian chaplain Michael Jensen, and just come to bring some comfort and blessing to you. And he said, oh, I said, tell me a bit about yourself. He says, well, I'm such and such. I live here. And I'm a Freemason. Now what are you going to say? I didn't want to hear that, Lord. I don't want to tell a man in bed who's sick in hospital that he's actually following some wicked thing that is corrupt and evil and ready for the judgment of God to come upon it. And I sought a way, obviously, to present to this man, not condemningly, but the truth about Freemasonry, because I knew the truth. It's satanic, and it's against Jesus. And everything seemed quite quiet. They listened, and I prayed with the man at the end, and I lost my job as a chaplain at the hospital. He turned out to be in the Uniting Church, but had been a Presbyterian, you see, reported back to the Uniting Church, who then came and, anyway, I won't go into the long length of the story. The story is I lost my job. But you see, what if I hadn't said anything? I'd still be a chaplain over there, but the blood would be on my head. See, ruling in the fear of God is conscious of what God thinks, of what God is going to do when we fail to do what he says. And this is the final word of David. The God of Israel has spoken, the Rock of Israel has said to me, when one rules justly over men, ruling in the fear of God, he dawns on them like the morning light, like the sun shining forth on a cloudless morning, like rain that makes grass to sprout from the earth. For does not my house stand so with God? For he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. I remember going to the interviews that wanted to review this situation with this man in the hospital, and how did I speak to him, and what was it like, and the committee in my church that interviewed me, and there was a dear lady on that committee, a very soft-hearted lady, and you know they agreed to that I should stand down from the position and you know avoid the tension and all the issues that would be in. And she said to me, she wrote me a card saying, I'm sure this is God's got something better for you. At the time, I didn't think so, but he does. Always. Because those who rule in the fear of God dawn on them like the morning light, like the sun shining forth on the cloudless morning. For will not he cause you to prosper? All my help and my desire. This is what God says here. All he will grant me, every desire of my heart. Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? Didn't David say that in Psalm 37? Take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desire of your heart. Take delight in him is the same actually as fearing God. Taking delight in what he says. Doing exactly what he says. And not worrying about what man says. I'm sure Israel Folau felt the same as he wrote in his, simply quoted the scriptures from Corinthians. But worthless men, I think the NIV says evil men, are like thorns that are thrown away, cannot be taken in the hand, Evil and worthless men, you try and handle them, you'll get pricked. They have to be dealt with by the iron and the shaft of a spear, and they are utterly consumed with fire. Now, these are the final words of David, 7 verses in the scriptures. They've got to be significant, surely, don't they? They have to challenge us. I remember standing under a liquid amber. You can probably see it just there. One day when this whole thing of Freemasonry was just growing in intensity, and the Lord was saying, you need to speak into the Presbyterian Church about this. And then he said, are you willing to die for this? He didn't just mean spiritually die. He meant physically die. Are you willing? Are you willing to put God first? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord leads to the love of God. And David is writing here simply to tell us all that God spoke to him and said, if you will rule in righteousness and in the fear of God, your light will shine like the sun dawning in the morning on a cloudless sky. And here we are, 3,000 years later, still speaking of David. Amen.